This episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark Flatt, and I'm calling in from the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. Today, as always, I'm joined by my brother Dave. He's calling in from Maryland at the banks of the Potomac River. Thanks for joining us. Here we go.
Man, you see what Cat did?
No, what did he do?
Man, so Russ airballs a three, right? And Cat just, like, mocks him for airballing a three.
Yikes.
Yeah, dude. Especially it's Cat. I mean, like, I get it, man. Like, I mean, has Cat ever been to the playoffs before?
Yeah, I think that one year with Jimmy Butler, they made
it. Oh, that's right. So 1 year he's made it to the playoffs his entire career, and then you have somebody that's like Russ that has made the playoffs, that hasn't made the playoffs like 1 year in his entire career. Like, come on, man. Like, show some respect. Show some respect towards the players of the game. I know that Russ said it wasn't that big of a deal. But you know Russ. We know Russ. That was a pretty big deal. He's gonna have some shit for Cat later on for sure.
Well, in Beverly, I saw him call Russ trash and get after him. Like, yeah, I mean, whatever. The Lakers are in trouble. And when this type of stuff happens, you know, you've got your vultures. They start circling and they want to pick at it. But like we've said about the Timberwolves, like, this is a beautiful season for them. They're looking at this and saying, oh, my gosh, we're in the playoffs. This is so great. Like, most teams wouldn't be satisfied being in the position they are, but this is where they peak. So, you know, congratulations, you've made it to the playoffs. Fuck you.
Do the Lakers got a chance, man? I mean, San Antonio is nipping at the heels right now. Like, I kind of feel like, I think there's only a 2-game separation between the San Antonio and there's another team, whether it's not Sacramento, but Pelicans or whatever. But anyways, there's three teams that are going for those two positions right now. I'm kind of looking at it like, I mean, at what point does the Lakers say LeBron's chance to get another scoring title doesn't fucking matter? We've got to figure out what we're doing next year and what players we're not going to have next year. And I think, to me, looking at it, like, eventually, I mean, what point do you shut things down? I mean, we saw it on the other side of LA with the Clippers being like, fuck this mess. We don't want to lose our star players. And the three best players in LA have been sitting out for the last month plus.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. I don't know how it's going to play out. You got the Pelicans at number 10. They're a game back from the Lakers. And then the Spurs are a game and a half back from the Pelicans. And they're also tied with the Blazers. So it's not just one team. You know, this could go bad very quickly. The Lakers have lost three in a row. You know, we face Minnesota. We know that they're a pretty good team. But at the same time, they're looking like they're going to be in the play-in game. They're a game and a half back from the Nuggets. So there's not anything to say other than the Timberwolves are playing really well at the right time. The Lakers are playing really bad. The Spurs, obviously, they just beat us, which, you know, stinks. But, you know, they're playing to get into that play-in game. And if they can turn it around, they're going to be on some kind of roll. But, you know, they've got time to make that move. For us, though, dude. Man, that game was so fun, man. It was bad. It was good. It was bad. It was good. And right at the end, it looked like it was going to be great. But you have to step back and be like, we played really hard. We fought our way back into it. And we got to give these guys a lot of credit because, you know, they could have easily folded and they didn't. The Spurs wanted to put us away and they couldn't. And, you know, we had that lead going down to the last 5 seconds. That was beautiful. That was unexpected. And I'm grateful to the coaching staff and to the players for refusing to quit and making, you know, the Spurs step up in a big way against us.
Yeah, and San Antonio was up by 16 points in that second quarter. They were stomping us. It was not a pretty sight. It was painful to watch. All those other emotions that go along with just a rough game to watch in the first half. But we came back. We fought back. I have to say, with the broadcast, broadcasters there, they were a whole lot better than the last time that we saw San Antonio, which I said San Antonio had the worst broadcast team of old time, and they did last game we played them. So I'm glad they stepped up their game and have their regulars back in the game, because, man, that was probably the only time that I was just like, this is the worst broadcast of all of sports. I've watched a lot of different sports through the years, but San Antonio's broadcast team last time was piss poor. So I'm glad they stepped up their game.
They had Sean Elliott back, so he makes a big difference.
And he does.
Yeah, and they had Tony Parker in the arena. They had Manu Ginobili in the arena. So obviously the Spurs wanted to win that game, but I mean, I'm just proud of the effort we put into this game. You said we were down by 16, but we were down by 16 as late as the second half of the third quarter. So, like, they kept reopening that lead. You know, we tied it in the second quarter, and then they got it back up to 15. Then, you know, it wasn't until midway through the fourth that we took our lead for the first time in the game. So, you know, it's that fight that you love to see. And Sean Elliott, he's in love with Poku. So add him to another Poku convert.
Yeah, and he should be, because Poku played a phenomenal game last night, 16 points. He had one steal, one assist, six rebounds, one of which was offensive. He was 1-for-2 in three-pointers, 5-for-7 on field goals, and 5-for-7 in free throws. He attacked the hole. He played well. There was everything there that we needed to see. You know, I have to say, even the last, 5 seconds of the game where Walker had the ball, we were trying to foul Walker. Like, I want to make sure that's clear to everybody. Like, we had a foul to give. We were trying to foul Walker. Walker bobbled the ball and made an amazing move to get the ball. Dude hit a once-in-a-lifetime shot. He had two guys on him, and he hit a once-in-a-lifetime shot. Give it him the credit, you know? Like, we had 1.3 seconds to get a shot off. They played a phenomenal defense on us, and Shea had a very contested shot in the corner for the win, which obviously he didn't hit any of the rim because it was very contested. But, man, this team...
Was that blocked?
It could have been blocked. It was hard to see.
I think it was either a block or he got fouled on the hand as he released it, but
they're not
going to
call
Tony Brothers signal for that it was blocked. But you know what really pissed me off was, like, okay, Josh Primo, we liked him in the pre-draft. He's the youngest player in the league. But he started talking some shit to SGA after that defensive play they had. I feel like he's going to have a tough time when he plays SGA for the rest of his career, because he really fucked that one up.
Yeah, man. I think SGA is going to put his nuts in a vice grip for sure next time he plays. He's going to make him feel like a little child. I hope
he'll
never
forget
because
that, bro.
You can't be the youngest player in the NBA and talk shit on a seasoned veteran who just signed a massive, massive contract that's, you know, playing very, very well right now. I mean,
yeah, he put
another 30-point
back
game up here. Like, yeah. Primo had 6 points. Like, fuck is he?
And four of them was on an and-one three.
Yeah.
So, like, this wasn't like he went out and did a lot of stuff. Like, it was a bad closeout. I think it was Poku. It might have been Krejci. One of those two ran out at him, and, you know, he ended up hitting that three. There's no way Primo hits that three if he's not fouled.
No.
He's that bad of a shooter this year. I think he's, over the last four games, he's been, like, 1-for-18 on threes. And one of them, now he's 2-for-19 or 2-for-20 because he gets fouled. Like, that guy needs to be hit on the arm to make a shot.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. It was. I mean, San Antonio, the fans are in the stands. Obviously, Popovich had just broke the record the last one they got. So this is, you know, another adding to the record. So there's going to be this buzz. I think, was this the first time that he's played in San Antonio since breaking the record?
As far as I know, I thought that a few times during the game. I looked at it and
but
I was like, these people, they're pumped
jacked,
about
bro.
Pop.
They're jacked up. So
yeah. And having the greats in the stands, having everything going on like that, you know, they wanted to beat us. They wanted to beat us bad. And, you know, it took that final possession for them to do it. So,
yep.
You know, I keep saying it, but I'm really proud of these guys.
I mean, we have to be because, like you said, we played the game well enough to win the game. We lost it in the last few seconds of the game, and that's unfortunate. You know, I look back at one of the calls that didn't go our way was we got a defensive rebound or an offensive rebound and put it back up and in. They called it a offensive goaltending. It was by Sarr, and they went back and looked at it, and the ball was clearly outside of the rim area, and Sarr put it back in, and they called it a offensive goaltending. That was 2 points that was taken away. I think that was in the third quarter, too. So, again, there's certain things that happened last night that I look at saying that this could have been a completely different outcome if the refs had just done a little bit better job. And they could have replayed that because that's a replayable on a timeout. You can replay that goaltending on a timeout. Like, those are the type of things that you can, whether someone steps on the line at a three-point line, those are the type of things that you can look back and replay. But they decided not to. And that's just another opportunity that I look at the refs at, that they make these decisions not to do things, even though they should, because why not? Why not take a second look at it just because? You know, like, why not say, hey, I understand that this was a offensive goaltending. You know, we don't have anything else to do right now. We got 2.5 minutes of timeout right now, 3.5 minutes of timeout. Let's go look at that. You know, worst comes to worst, we were right. Worst comes to worst, worst and the worst, we were wrong. And at least we get called out for being right. Like, to me, there has to be some type of accountability there, that somebody's pushing a buzzer, somebody's pushing a light that doesn't give these refs the opportunity to say, I don't want to review this.
Yeah, they shouldn't necessarily have to stop the play to make this type of review. We've seen them do it. We've seen Sakakis call in, you know, these types of things, cancel points because of a foot on the line, you know, add a point because a foot's behind the line. And, you know, even the Spurs announcers were like, oh, we're glad they don't look at that one again. But the first time you saw it, it was obvious it was a goaltend. Yes. It wasn't until you saw another angle that you realized that ball was off the cylinder. And
way off.
It was the one above the backboard that really gave it an idea. But why shouldn't they look at that view? If they're going to take points away, they should at least take a look at that view at a timeout, at the end of quarter. At some point, that needs to be looked at because, yeah, I mean, it's points. Sar had a great game. He went 3-for-3, 2-for-2 from behind the arc. Yeah, and two more points there would have been big. I mean, so 8 points in total for Sar, but... yeah, those 2 points not being there, that made a difference. But in the end, because it was early in the game and not late, or at least the third quarter, it wasn't the end of the game, you can't really say that was the reason that we didn't win. But yeah, fuck the refs, man. They need to make that right.
Yeah, and I'm not pointing this all on the refs. I'm just making an obvious statement that this is one of the things that should have been looked at that wasn't. And I feel like that happens every single game now. And why isn't there somebody that's in charge? I get it. That means that you're going to have maybe hire another 7 people per night to watch these games to call these refs out. I get it. It's a lot of money. But, I mean, the NBA are a bunch of greedy fuckers, man. They make so much money. And for them to cough out an extra $700,000 to make sure that every single night these guys are being taken care of, man, to me is like a no-brainer. Like, that's why you need to have one for the hard fouls. You don't need to be stopping these plays. You know what I'm saying? Like, these guys, these refs should be able to sit back and be calling the game. And, you know, whether it's New York or Chicago, wherever these replays are happening, they should be able to sit back. The refs should. And then these other guys make the calls for them. It's like their boss, you know, like, what do I do with this? Like, this guy fouled the guy really hard. Well, the refs shouldn't have to make an emotional call on that. You know, that shouldn't be the ref's fault. Like, that should be, I saw a flagrant two, the guy get kicked out, right? Completely kicked out. I looked at the foul, like maybe a flagrant one, but it was an emotional game. So these refs called a flagrant two and threw him out of the game. Like, I get it, right? But they have to be able to take the emotional side out of it and make these calls without making an emotional. If you can't do that, then you have to have a backup or a boss that covers their ass. And right now, the NBA is failing on that, and that's what's concerning to me.
Absolutely. And this team, we got 10 players out there, which is unusual for us. We've been stuck at 9 for quite a while. So let's talk about our starting lineup. Wiggins, Bazley, Roby, Mann, and SGA. So that's our starting 5. Wiggins and Mann started out very slow, and pretty quickly we brought Teo and Poku in, and they both picked up the pace, and they helped us play quite a bit better. We also had Vic Krejci, Sar, and Waters. So interesting combination of groups out there. I appreciate what we were able to see from Bazley. Another big game for him, back-to-back games of 25. 3 games in a row where he scored at least 25 now. He did it in an efficient way, too. He shot 4-for-10 from behind the arc, 9-of-16 from inside the arc, 7 rebounds, 2 offensive. So, I'm sorry, 9 rebounds, 2 of those offensive, 1 assist, and 1 steal. Bazley is playing at a high level, and he's keeping it up. He's helping us stay in there. And it wasn't just, you know, points when we were down by a lot. he was knocking down clutch shots and he was keeping us in it. So I'm a big fan of what Bazley was able to do, what he's been able to do.
Yeah, just a phenomenal night yet again. You know, looking at this lineup, my favorite lineup last night, Mark, and watching these guys play, I felt like our run was done with most of these guys in the game, was Poku, Krejci, Bazley, Mann, and Shea. Like, when these guys were on the court, good things were happening. You know, I cannot say enough about Krejci, bro. Like, he looks so calm, collective, looks so good out there. Like, what the hell? Like, to me, this is another player that's completely surprised me. Like, I know. I say it so often. It's like, I got to stop being surprised. But the way that Krejci plays and the fluid of his game and the way that he's coming off of ACL surgeries, like he has so much more to grow, and yet his game looks so polished. It looks really, really, really fun.
Yeah, he's a good shooter, and he's a great cutter. He ended up with a couple of offensive rebounds, and for him, that's kind of like a cut. He cuts to the basket at the right time, and he's able to locate the ball. There was one cut he had. SGA was driving to the basket, and he got to the rim. He could have, you know, flipped it up, but it was pretty contested. And then here comes Vit. He cuts straight to the backboard and gets a layup. So I'm a big fan of the way that he's able to move without the ball. He's a point guard in, you know, positioning, but he's got size and he can play off the ball and he knows how to play really well. He's extremely intelligent. And then you add the fact that he's knocking down his three-point shot and he's really tough to stop.
It's just fun. Last night he had 8 points, 6 rebounds, 1 steal. 2 for 4 on three-pointers and 3 for 6 on field goals. So, again, it's the fluid aspect of his game is a lot of fun. He's got a lot of ways to go, but it's the little spurts that I'm seeing right now that's like, ooh, this guy could be Oklahoma City's, you know, Ginobili, or this could be Oklahoma City's, you know, sixth man for the future. Like, this could be one of those guys that really surpasses anybody else that we've considered as the next sixth man on this team because of the way he's playing his game and understanding the game, plays multiple positions, plays a forward, plays the guard, has crazy long arms. His knowledge of the game is unbelievable. So I know 8 points, we're talking about him, spending a lot of time on him, but to me, Krejci is just one of those guys that's really proven to be a phenomenal player, and I'm quite excited that he landed on this team, especially in the second round like he did.
Yeah, and Teo out there, he played really good. It was great to see Tony Parker there, you know, his mentor. And Teo ended up with 8 points and 8 assists. He kicked in 4 rebounds and 2 steals. He played 25 minutes, shot 3 for 5 inside the arc and 1 for 1 behind the arc. I just felt like he played at a really high level, and he did everything we needed him to do. He helped calm the team down, help us get back in it. And, you know, Teo has got a really unique way of playing, and he helps this team. He's super young, so we're obviously buying into him at a high level. Seeing him and Poku, who were rookies last year, come in and step in for the two rookies this year, Wiggins and Trey Mann, and really give the team the calm presence that they needed to, plus they were playing at a fast rate. There's a lot to love about it. And then you got to give Poku a lot of credit, man. There was a lot he did on offense, but the play of the game for him was a block he had on Kendon Johnson, who was leaving. Like, he left the floor, man. He was going for a big dunk, and I think they were up by 3 points at that point, and it was about a minute left, I believe, and Poku goes up, gets the block, and we're right back in it going the other way. Big-time play for him. You're always talking about what he can provide, you know, us on the defensive end. But, you know, seeing him out there really, you know, anchor down the paint, that's pretty fun to see.
It's, you know, it's important to have these guys that can do that, whether it's Isaiah Roby, Darius Bazley, Poku, Olivia Saar. These are the guys that are going to be out there putting bodies on the big guys. And I love the fact that we rotate out there. I love the fact that not one guy is in charge of playing their best center or their best power forward. I love the fact that we use it by committee. No guy, I would say, even going past that, saying I don't think that we have one particular player that plays against their big bodies for 5 minutes without getting a rest. If you look at the way that we rotate, it's just impressive. Like, we're keeping guys fresh. which causes issues for their guys because a lot of their centers that we're playing against are one-dimensional centers. Like, they rebound and they score in the post. And when we're playing against those guys, we're seeing a lot of our guys that are just, you know, boom, 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 and then we're switching out, boom, 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 switching out. And then by the fourth quarter, you know, their centers and power forwards are tired, you know, leaning on the guards to do the rest of the work. And last night we saw the shooting guards and the center or the point guards really step up and hit a lot of threes when they were needed. So this is the progression of where everything is going, and it's just exciting to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And Poku ended up with 16 points, 5-7 shooting, 1-2 from deep, 5-7 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. And they didn't give him credit for a block, but I'm giving it to him because, to me, that was a block. I mean, I guess he could have missed the ball, but his presence altered the shot. There's no doubt about that. But, hey, good job by Poku today. This was one of his better games, if you ask me. And then, you know, you look back at the starting lineup, right? We've got Roby, who I thought played pretty well. A tough matchup with Patel out there. He can really, you know, create issues on the offensive glass, and he was doing that for us. 10 points in total for Roby, 3 rebounds. He knocked down a 3, and he shot 5-6 from the free throw line. You know, early on, he was the best thing we had going offensively, and then everybody else was able to get going a bit. So I thought he did pretty good. Wiggins was back tonight, and nice to see Wiggins back playing hard. His shot, it wasn't falling, but, you know, we've seen him recently go out there and knock down 3 or 4 threes in a game. I feel like he's going to keep playing at a high level. It's great to have him back in the lineup. Only 2 points for him on 1-7 shooting. Kicked in 2 rebounds and 1 assist. So it was a quiet night overall for him, but it's great to have him back and getting minutes.
Yeah, it really is. And circling around about Baisley real quickly, I want to bring this up. His 25 points, 4 for 10 on 3-pointers, so 40% on threes there, I felt like was great. Really just in a phenomenal job tonight. Like, I feel like he's taking those steps that we needed to see by the end of the season in order for him to get another contract to stay in Oklahoma City. This is big. I love what Baisley's been doing. I love what he's been, how he's been playing. And it's been fun to see. So, again, this is great. Isaiah Roby did a great job. Olivia Saar, our big men, did a phenomenal job. So good job tonight by them. And, you know, throwing it out there that as a team, I felt like, you know, we scored 21 points off of the 12 turnovers that San Antonio had. But San Antonio only scored 22 points off of the 17 turnovers that we had. We did a great job getting back, limiting their fast break points to 2 points all night. Really just a phenomenal job, especially after they opened up that 16-point lead. A lot of times that comes with a lot of fast breaks, a lot of turnovers. We had, you know, 17 turnovers, but that's not horrible considering San Antonio is a very good defensive team. So, like I said, 2 points for San Antonio in fast break. We had 11. We had a 3-point lead in that fourth quarter. Almost it was able to pull away there. Our bench scored 40. They scored 39. And again, just a great job altogether. Like, we were there. We had an opportunity to win, even though we were down by 16 points at one time. I mean, I think we were even down like 8 or 7 in that fourth quarter, and we came roaring back as well. So there's these things that we're looking at that makes us really happy and proud of this team because, yeah, like I get it. People are always saying, you know, well, this Oklahoma City Thunder team is going to be great, but they're so young. But it's these nights that we see like this that really, truly, like put in context how good this team's going to be.
Yeah, and if you want to circle something and say we can definitely work on it, it would be that offensive rebounding again, particularly on the long three-point shots. Those really kill us. They have an opportunity to usually get a couple of rebounds in a row. It's not like, oh, it's just one. It happens, and they happen in bunches, and that can be pretty frustrating. There was, I think we gave up, 15 offensive rebounds. We gave up 24 second-point chance points, and then we scored 15 ourselves. So you can look at that and say that's a place we can get better. It's a team effort, and we can all work on that. And if we do that, then maybe we don't get down by 16. Maybe we, you know, play a different level of game and have a better chance to close that one out. But as a team, it's something we got to improve on. Something else that we'll mention that's, you know, not necessarily positive, but Lindy Waters played 12 and a half minutes. He didn't score any points, and he was the only guy on the team that played that didn't score. He shot four threes. Those were all tough shots. They definitely ran him off the line. But here's the positive to me. He got three rebounds, one assist, and two steals. If Lindy Waters is just a three-point shooter, then his contribution will come down to whether or not he hits a three. But if he comes out and he plays, you know, multiple positions, he plays hard on defense, he gets on the ground for loose balls, he does all those types of things, well, then even if he's not making shots, he's still contributing. And I think that that's a big, you know, progression for his game, something I'm looking forward to watching continue to happen.
Yeah, and one thing that I look at and I circle the reason that we lost this game was we gave up 19 threes, which is a season high for San Antonio. I feel like this is kind of like our Achilles heel as of recently, that perimeter defense. So, or, you know, on the wings on our defense. So, again, there's certain things that we need to improve on. Obviously, this is a season right now that we're looking at to be happy if we get, you know, three or four more wins. I mean, I'm happy with where we're at right now. I'm happy if we don't get any more wins, just because I'm loving how this team's playing. But then again, I understand that there's other people out there that would like to see this team win. It's all about Josh Giddey. If he comes back and plays a couple games, I see this team putting together a few games win. But look at where we're at, Mark. If you look at where our ranking is at, we're, you know, three games ahead. Put it like this. Looking at where we're at, I think there's more chance that the two teams that are below us, I think are a game and a half or two games below us, have a chance to catch us, and we have a chance to catch the Pacers, who are three and a half games ahead of us. So, again, there's an opportunity here for us to move up in the draft or whatever you want to say. I don't really care about that. I just want this team to compete every night, and if that means that we win a few games, so be it. And if that means we move out of the top four places in this draft, then I don't really care. I just want to see this team put a good season together like they have and finish it out strong.
Yeah, the reason when you look at this squad we had out there that we really feel like we, you know, wanted to win this game, the reason it felt like there was a sense of urgency to win it is because SGA was out there and he was playing at a really high level. And anytime he's playing at a high level, you've got to, you know, compete for four quarters. Otherwise, we saw the other night a couple games ago, like, he gets really, really bummed. He gets pretty depressed. Like, we need to be competing for him. And that's what I'm looking at right now. He had a big game, another big game, 34 points, 14 of 22 shooting, 5 of 8 from the free throw line. Obviously, that's below his standard, so he's going to be frustrated about that. But he kicked in 8 assists, 6 rebounds, 3 steals, and 1 block. I mean, this guy is stuffing the stat sheet all game long. And then as the game gets going, he's starting to add the points in there. And when he got going offensively, he had Sean Elliott go, oh my goodness, a few times.
Yeah, and that's why it's fun, man. It's fun hearing these other broadcast guys talk about how good this team's going to be in a couple years, how good they are now, things to look at, things to circle. It's just fun, man. To me, this is what basketball is all about. I know there's a lot of people that are discouraged about the way the Oklahoma City Thunder are playing or the way the guys are playing and the way the injuries are. But to me, it's encouraging in so many ways. And I'm pumped, man. I'm pumped where we're going. I'm pumped where we're at. We've got a lot of exciting stuff happening here with the Thunder. We got great games coming up here. Some people will say we don't want to win any more games. But to me, it's all about the process. It's all about recognizing where this team's at, where they're going. And we're obviously not in a spot that, you know, winning a lot of games is going to happen. I mean, I think we have about 10, 12 games left. We have Miami, Orlando, Boston, Orlando, right? So we've got a couple games in there that are winnable. Or if Orlando comes out and beats the tar out of us for whatever reason, I mean, to me, it doesn't really matter at this point. If Orlando comes out, they beat us twice, that means that they win the series against us, and then they also go above us in the rankings. And these are the things that some people might be like, oh, no, we have to lose these games. But I don't know. I'll take a couple wins here.
Yeah. And they're going to keep working hard, so you want to give them a lot of credit because, you know, we did compete. We competed hard for four quarters, and it would have been easy to fold, especially when we were down, you know, by a big margin. But we keep fighting, and, you know, it's fun. It's fun to watch these young guys get opportunities and try to, you know, speculate on the direction they're going. But, you know, another big game for Baisley and SGA. That's what you want to circle. And then, obviously, Sean Elliott talking about having, you know, Josh Giddey, SGA, and Poku out there together and how scary that'll be in 4 years. Well, you know, we can hang our hat on that. You know, we compete for four quarters, and then our future is so bright that, you know, other people are looking at it and they're getting kind of jealous of not where we are now, but where we will be. And that's why we love this team so much. But I do. I mean, I really love this team. I love the way they're competing. And I mean, it gets me excited to watch them play every time. And as the game got down to the wire, man, I mean, my baby was sleeping and I was yelling in the house and stuff like that. Like I was going crazy because I felt like we had this game, or we at least had a chance to win it down the edge, down the stretch. And then they hit that big three, and you got to give them credit. But we had a chance to win it at the buzzer there. It didn't happen. But, you know, as you take these experiences and you accumulate them, it matters. It matters a great deal. And we've seen it happen time and time again, depending on who we have out there. But we go through these processes where we're learning how to compete for four quarters, and then all of a sudden, four players that, you know, really helped us out with that aren't there anymore. And then we do it again, and then four more players aren't out there anymore. So this is this group trying to figure out how to win games right now, and we love it.
Yeah, we really do. We really love the competitiveness that these guys are showing. We love the style of play that they're putting out there. These guys are doing some great things. And yeah, it doesn't mean that we get to watch this team play in the playoffs this year. And Mark and I were both secretly hoping and definitely put it out there. We wish that we could be. We felt like this was a good year to be in that 9th or 10th seed going into the playoffs. But it just wasn't supposed to be. And injuries caused that. And we can say this again, and everybody can say, well, this is proof we're tanking, that Kendrick and these guys aren't out there. But to me, this is proof that this team is really trying to put things together. Like, Shea's out there. If we weren't trying to compete, Shea wouldn't be out there right now. You know, like, he wouldn't be putting out their 35 plus minutes and a massive amount of shots. And this would be, you know, everybody else playing, but we're trying to compete, and we are competing. Yeah, we get blown out by 18 points, but it's a close game for 3.5 quarters still. And that's what this team is doing, and they're putting up some great numbers and great stuff to do. So we can sit here and we can be super fucking negative, or we can just decide to be positive about this team. And that's where we're at. Hopefully Josh gets back. Hopefully these guys get healthy and we can see them put together a nice little run towards the end of the season. But the reality, Mark, is like, this doesn't bother me where they're at right now, because it's the future that we're excited about.
Yeah. And we got to give them a lot of credit, because they keep giving us glimpses of that future that keep us hanging on and keep us watching every possession with excitement. Because, you know, we've been cheering for Baisley, you know, for 2 years now. This is the second year, and it's toward the end of the season, and we're finally starting to see these glimpses of this player that he can be. He can finish around the rim, he can knock down the three, and he can make plays for teammates. And yeah, he's still making mistakes. He's still catches himself in positions where he ends up with turnovers and things like that you don't really want to see, but you know that it's a part of the process. And one of those guys that really is really leaning into this process is Trey Mann. Trey had an opportunity where it's back to that broccoli and Skittles time, you know, with Coach Degnault, where Patel brought the ball down and Trey Mann ripped it away from him, right, and then got the foul on Patel. And I could just tell Coach Degnault was like, that's why I bench you when you don't do it. So when that ball comes in your face, you pull it away. You grab that thing and you move and you get going. And that's what he did. And, you know, only 9 points for him, but that's all right. He kicked in 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 steal. I mean, the guy was playing really good.
And it's about looking at these guys as they're young. Like, they're not going to put in, you know, a huge stretch of games in a row where they're going to have, you know, great numbers. It's just not. It's consistency what struggles with young players. Yeah, we saw it with Josh Giddey, but that's not the normal thing. You know, and seeing that and recognizing that is cool, because Baisley, look at what he's doing recently. I mean, it's truly spectacular. And those are the type of guys that just need a little extra time. And that's why this organization is so great. And that's why we're going to see a lot of players in the future try to come to Oklahoma City, because they're going to recognize that we're all about developing players and letting them play in their own time. And I think that's what's exciting about it, whether it's our G League, or to the NBA, our Thunder organization, it doesn't matter. Like, we're on a whole new level in the way that we're structuring everything. So I'm pumped, man. This is really great news for this team. It's really great movement for this team. I know we lost, but we had it. We had it. We failed to foul Walker because the bobble. But the reality is that we were right there. We had an opportunity to close it out. We gave him the shot that we wanted. We had Krejci right there and Shea right there. We had the guys guarding him, and he was still able to get it off with contested shot and hit it. Like, that's the type of shot that we want a player to take if we were going to give him a three-point shot at the end of the game.
Yeah, absolutely, man. No doubt about that. And give him props for hitting it, because as much as you hate seeing it happen to your team, you know, the fact that he hit the shot, it's beautiful basketball. So, you know, congratulations to the Spurs. Yo, I wanted to ask you before we get out of here, bro, like, what do you think is going on with Steph right now? We saw a Smart dive on his leg, and it wasn't exactly the same play, but it kind of reminded me of the Patrick Beverley, Russell Westbrook, you know, dive that was a bit unnecessary. I saw Steve Kerr, you know, telling Marcus Smart he felt like it was unnecessary and it was 100%
unnecessary.
You think so?
100%. Marcus Smart, I love him. Watched him play with Oklahoma State for 4 years. 3 years, whatever it was. Here's the issue, is he's known to make these plays. And when you're playing up against one of the game's best at Steph Curry, and you probably tear his ACL or MCL or something like that, like, because you're diving on a ball. Huh? What?
You think it's that serious, huh?
Man, did you see it? Like, here's the thing.
I didn't get a close enough look at the knee.
So check this out. One of the things that I consistently see when I see a torn ACL is the feeling that I had every single time I've torn my ACL, right? It's that your knee, right? It's like this right here. And then all of a sudden it's a separation, right? And you feel this weird separation. And then
you're talking about your shin from your knee, right? Your separation.
Yeah, you're talking about your femur from your tibula, right?
All right.
You feel this weird, your knee in the middle there, that just feels this like weird pull, and then poof, and it's gone. And like, watching him, how Marcus Smart turned over on him, like, it's one thing if you're diving for a ball, but to turn over like he did on him, man, like you're asking for something to be torn, because you're creating a separation right there. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
you're creating that separation there that typically, when a non-contact injury happens, it's typically a freak thing. But when someone puts pressure on that and that separation happens, that's really easy how it tears. Now, Steph could be all right, but the fact is he's an old man. So that's what's the other thing that keeps going back in my mind. Like, why did Smart do this? Like I get it. You're trying to win the game, and you had a chance to get a loose ball. But why was the roll happen? You know, I call it the alligator roll. You know, like, you're diving for the ball, and then you roll. Like, really, really hard, really, really sudden. I did it in high school, and the reason I did it in high school was because I knew I could get a cheap elbow out. You know, like, that's why I did the alligator roll. Why did Smart do the alligator roll? He felt Steph on top, right behind him. He felt Steph there. He did the alligator roll, and whether Mark will say, I didn't do it on purpose, that's not what I did on purpose. No, he did do it on purpose, because the alligator roll is on purpose.
Well, I mean, I watched it like 3 times, not that many times, and my opinion was different than yours. I felt like he was obviously diving for the loose ball, but it's like his body is going in 2 different directions, right? Like, his arms are going for the loose ball, but he kind of dove into Steph.
It looked weird, didn't it?
It did. It looked a little disjointed, and I feel like, okay, if we're going to make special rules every time a Warriors players get hurt like they did with Zaza Pachulia, I could see them coming out and saying, that there's a different type of, you know, dive. You got to dive for the ball, not into somebody. But I don't know that they're going to come out and try to make new rules, but it could be an intentional in 2 years.
Well, and it's how it's done. It's just like, you know, we saw it in baseball, you know, when the catcher started getting protected, you know, they call it, what is it, Buster Posey rule or Joe Mauer rule, where, you know, the catchers now have an opportunity, not to get run over. That's the same type of thing we're talking about. When there's loose ball, you don't have to dive on top of somebody. If you look at what Marcus Smart did, he didn't have to dive on top of Steph. He went to go block Steph, right, from going. That's what he did. Like, there was no need for that. Once Steph saw that Marcus Smart was going for the ball, he's not going to go bump heads with him. He doesn't want to touch tips with Marcus Smart. So he's going to try to stay away from that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. He definitely doesn't want to cross swords with Smart, that's for sure.
Stay the fuck away from that shit, bro. Anyways, God. No, I think that it was interesting. I think Kerr's onto it. I think obviously Smart's going to deny ever doing it on purpose like he should, because I, you know, that's a huge ass fine if he comes back because, and is like, fuck Steph, I did it on purpose because he deserves it, you know?
Because they'll crucify him, bro. They'll hang him from a cross.
Yeah, exactly. So he's going to always deny being, you know, oh, I had no idea Steph was there. I just dove for the ball. But again, you called it out the best, man. You said his arms went one way for the ball and his whole body went the other way. And then you add in the role that he added in there. Like, there's just too many things that, like, you know, somebody like Marcus Smart, who has so much control over his body, like, you got to wonder, like, at what point was that not dirty, you know?
Yeah. And it brings us back to Patrick Beverley and, you know, Russell Westbrook. And Beverley has, he feels like this is his chance to start talking about Russ. And maybe it is. Maybe it is. It's a lot of people are talking a lot of shit about the Lakers. And now the Warriors, their whole season is looking like it's on the brink here. They finally get Klay back. And then all this happens. And, you know, it's crazy. It's the end of the year. This is the type of stuff that starts happening at the end of the year. But, you know, got to give the Thunder a lot of credit for just continuing to fight hard, because they gave us some really fun basketball to watch last night, and I'm grateful, man. I'm very, very grateful for this game. Grateful that we got to see some great basketball, even though we didn't get the win. And it's been a little while since we've seen a really good game. We've lost 7 in a row, and we're looking at it. We're saying, how can we get back out there and win one more game? That's all we're thinking about right now. And we play the Heat, like you mentioned. The Heat are damn good this year. It's going to be another opportunity to go out there and try to compete for four quarters where – we don't expect to win, but we'd take one if we can get one.
Man, absolutely. Any wins that we can add to our team's total wins right now is huge for confidence boosters for next year. And that's all we want. We want these guys going out, playing hard, using their heads, and getting some wins out there. So thanks again for listening to The Last Storm. Again, this is Mark and Mice. One of our favorite things to do is get together and talk about the Thunder. So, you know, it's just one of those things where we're going to continue doing. Obviously, it's not every single day now. We've got lives now. more stuff going on in our life than we did during the pandemic. But we want to make sure that we continue to bring you fresh new stuff every single time we get a chance. So thanks again for listening to The Last Storm. My name is Dave. That was Mark. And we'll be back tomorrow or the next day or the next day, whatever day. And let's make sure that we drop a new pod for you guys. Again, as always, this episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. So thanks again for listening, guys. See you again.